nation that has brightened our pathways a while. So come and sit by my side if you love me. Do not hasten to bid me adieu. Just remember the Red River Valley and the girl who has loved you so true.
After my father died a few years ago, I asked my siblings if I could at least temporarily be the one who keeps my grandfather's mandolin. My grandpa Aloy Sharon grew up on a ranch outside Grable, Wyoming, and in that era, if you didn't make music, you didn't have any to listen to. He played music at home, I'm sure, and some Friday nights at the nearby Lower Shell School, the one-room schoolhouse where my dad attended. Neighbors would gather, visit, and accompanied by various musicians, kick up their heels and dance. Dad kept the mandolin hanging on a hook on the wall, more a memory than an instrument. Its strings were rusted and the inlay on the top was cracked. When I brought it to the repair shop over in Manhattan, they lovingly restored it and said, remarkably, it's in great shape to play. So I have begun playing, slowly learning to pluck out tunes. I took some Zoom lessons during the pandemic, but it doesn't really show. But as I write a book on my family history, it's helpful to play old-timey songs that were popular in the 19th century as a way of connecting with my grandpa, who I never met, and the whole era he and my grandma lived through. The one I played as I began is, of course, Red River Valley, which was apparently one of my grandpa's favorites. This story opens up space to reflect on a core part of the scripture for today about Jesus' identity. Jesus asked his disciples directly, "Who do you say that I am?" And I've been sitting with that question this week. There is a lot going on in this passage, and yet at its center, I was struck by Jesus' question and Peter's answer. It is a confession in a way, and although we don't typically say creeds here at St. Lydia's, it's proto-creedal. The creeds assert more or less what Peter answers. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. At its core, Christianity claims that in Jesus, the fullness of God is revealed in a material, tangible way. As John's Gospel puts it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what is the fullness of God made flesh in Jesus? Jesus says in that crucial moment after washing his friends' feet, "As I have loved you, so you should love one another." The incarnation of God in Jesus Christ is God made visible, we confess, because Jesus is love made visible. John 1 puts it this way: "Nobody has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is complete in us." And here I want to connect my story of playing music to answer Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" One of my favorite living theologians, Rowan Williams, has the gift of opening up complex questions with relatable analogies, yet ones that, despite their simplicity, are not trite. They actually deepen the space for the question. This question of how Jesus is somehow one with God has had many answers over the course of Christian history, and of course, some of those answers reject the idea of Jesus' divinity altogether. Rowan Williams surely knows how many people in his native Britain are skeptical of this claim, and I'm sure that contributed to his choice of music as a compelling way to grapple with the question. "When you see a great performer, a singer, or instrumentalist," he writes, "you are looking at one human being at the limit of their skill and concentration, all their strength, their freedom. You could even say their love is focused on bringing to life the work and vision of another person. When I'm bent over my grandpa's mandolin and picking out Red River Valley, I'm still myself, an independent human being. Yet for the time of the performance, my being is taken up with this mysterious different thing, that is, the song. I literally embody the song, the lyrics, and the tune, and somehow embody my grandfather too, who played the same song on the same mandolin 100 years ago. This, Williams suggests, is a way to think of Jesus. Jesus is performing God's love, yet as fully himself. In the fullness of Jesus' skill and joy in the performance of love, another is made absent, is made present, maybe made absent too. Another is made present, God. We too are drawn into the performance of God's love as we live as the body of Christ. The New Testament word for church, ecclesia, literally means the ones called out. Called out from what and to what? Perhaps church is nothing more than being called out of the audience into the performance. We become like God in following the way of Jesus, in joining that performance of love in our neighborhoods, our city, our world. That all sounds lovely, but we know there are a lot of performances that don't look much like love. Indifference, perhaps, disdain, hate, ugly, hurtful performances. And we have to say it, a lot of those ugly, hurtful performances happen in church. One of the most believable things about the Holy Bible is how often people get it wrong, and yet God makes something of them regardless. Imperfection in performing God's love is the norm. So what do we say about this, the off-key, tone-deaf performances? Perhaps that's another reason for the church, for a community of performers of God's love to gather in all of our humanness. We come together in story and song and prayer and meal to receive again the gift of God's love performed by Christ, who promises to be with us and for us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them, Jesus says. As the body of Christ, we perform God's love for one another, shoring up those who are hurting, who have lost hope, who fear failure, who are sick. And also, we shield the joy of those who rejoice. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, and after holding silence together, I'll ring the bell, inviting you to share stories or experiences that were evoked by the scripture text or by my reflections on it. We share stories and not opinions at St. Lydia's, both because Jesus told stories and because stories help us to know one another more deeply. We begin in silence.